And welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the DKP here at WrestlingObserver.com and F4WOnline.com. I am, of course, as always, your host, Alan, and I am joined this week by a returning guest, a favorite of the show, one of our buddies, Mike Falcone. Mike, how are you doing, sir?
Alan, I'm doing really good, man. We were just talking about WrestleMania weekend last time I was on, and here we are almost, you know, kicking off the summer. So, time flies, man.
Seems like forever ago.
Right? It does seem like forever ago, but it seems like it's also, you know, on the other hand, it just seems like it, man, just went by so fast, too, so.
Mike, you have to tell me if there's a noticeable difference in my mood, because when we did that show, it was, I think, the day I finished up in work for 3 weeks to head to Japan and the WrestleMania weekend
that's
and all that
right,
stuff happening.
That's right.
I think that was the day I finished up, so I was probably a very happy young man that time as we recorded that podcast. Now, as I'm in the midst of just absolutely being beaten down with stuff and work, no holidays in sight, but I actually do have Monday week off because I'm going over to Summer Sizzler on the Sunday.
I saw that's going on
in lovely London, and gonna see some Shibata, some Ishii, some Moose versus Shaw Samuels as announced today, which is the most awesome, perfect addition to that card, which is chock full of these crazy matches that are going to leave you breathless. And then it's like, okay, Moose versus Shaw Samuels. They stick that on like 2/3 of the way through the card when we're all spent. It's like the perfect, easy match to just chill, sit back, relax, and have a good time watching. Proper good guy, proper bad guy. Just, it will be, there's no way that match isn't good. And if anyone, here's me plugging a different podcast right away off the bat here. If you haven't listened to the Tuesday Night Jaw from this past week, there is the greatest ever story about Shaw Samuels told on that show by Jim Smallman, and about Shaw's first booking in progress. Ooh. Just, you gotta listen to it. Mike, what we're gathering here,
real quick, just because, you know, you're talking about Rev Pro, our buddy Ian, right before I signed on, was talking about that show, so shout out to him, former guest, future guest as well. Looks fun, man. I'll say this real quick, too.
I'm editing that out, Mike. He does not deserve to say that. You know?
He's a good guy. Continue. He should be watching Seinfeld, but he's a good guy. But anyway.
Mike, I bring you on my show. You start inflating this guy's ego. It doesn't need to be inflated. This is bullshit. I won't have this. Ian,
all right, get out of here. I thought you were going to kick me off. All right, show's over. Good night, everybody. No, real quick, I was thinking, when Moose coming over there, like, being, like, a former NFL guy, that would be cool if they had him, like, there's no, like, former, like, European football players at play, too. You know what I mean? Have a battle of American football guys versus European football.
There's the dude in NXT, really shit guy that I saw on the house show, Hugo Knox.
Ah, yes, Hugo Knox. And also did remind me, too, of the really bad joke of, do you have a 4th of July in Ireland, right? Or in the UK, rather. Of course you do, just the 4th of July. So, but anyway.
It was great last year. Last year it was on a Saturday. My 4th of July last year was great. I got up. It was a Saturday. It was the morning. I watched the WWE Sumo Hall show in Japan that morning. And then across the road from us in the rugby stadium, I went and they had a big NFL there was two Irish teams playing NFL against each other, and they had barbecues and all this kind of stuff. It was awesome. It was a great day. The weather was nice. It's a great 4th of July. This year, because of the leap year, 4th of July skips from Saturday to Monday. So my 4th of July is going to be back in work on Monday next week.
Right. Vacation is over, but man. Before I interrupt you there, we are going to be talking about something that's very near to both of our hearts. And I think, I don't know if you teased it on the last show.
Which you suggested as a joke. And I thought you were serious. And I was like, fuck it. Yeah, let's do it. And you're like, well, I was joking, but let's do it.
Well, you know, though, I think I had said it on the last show, and then I gotten the rocker set in, and then it's like, oh yeah, this reminds me. But now that I think about more about it, man, like I said, I've never been so excited to do a podcast before. So should be good.
Well, what we are here to talk about, if you didn't take the hint and Mike dropped down there, is that we are going to discuss the range of WWF figures brought out by the company Hasbro in the late 80s, early 90s. It's something near and dear to my heart. I know a lot of people, an older generation than us, Mike, the fans of the big rubber LJN figures from the mid 80s, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
For me, my only experience with them is seeing them in the shop at some point when I was very young, and there was one, and I wasn't really familiar with who the wrestlers were or anything at this stage, but there was one guy who I thought was like a farmer, but it wasn't Hillbilly Jim. And I was always wondering who that guy was that I thought was the farmer. And then it hit me years later, it was Terry Funk.
Yes, Hoss Funk.
Hoss Funk. Hoss Funk, the farmer. I wasn't sure. I thought it was a farmer or a cowboy or some kind of outdoorsman of some type. But it was a farmer is what I thought it was. And and it was Terry Funk, Hoss Funk. But yeah, there you go. I didn't get any LJN. I might have had one. I don't know. I don't really remember. Didn't stick with me. It wasn't something that hung around if I did have one for a short space of time. But wasn't ever really into the LJNs. Wasn't ever into the stuff of recent years or the 2000s at all. For me, it was all about the Hasbros in the early 90s. I think you fall into the same little demographic there, Mike. So what did the Hasbro figures mean to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you had the LJNs, you had the Hasbro, and I believe, just to make a slight correction on what you said, I think Hasbro went into effect, like, in 1990, like, November of 1990. So, like, LJNs was in the 80s, and then, like, 1990, the first set, because in that first set, Dusty was in it, as we'll get into in a second here, where Dusty had left the company to go back to WCW around like 91, but they already had made a Dusty Rhodes figure, so that's why it kind of was released like right around the time when he was gone. So that's why it's a little rare if you can find the Dusty figure. But luckily I have one loose. I think if you could have one like still in the package, and like, what 7-year-old is going to leave his toy still in the package, you know, thinking that like 25 years from now I'm gonna make money off this someday, because you don't. But I believe it was 1990, yeah. Yes.
Anyone who's, like, our age, who is, like, selling these or whatever in their mint condition packaging, you know they were a weird kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you were, like, yeah. If you're, say, maybe 40, 45, I would say, and you're selling these in mint condition packaging, you are a smart, industrious, entrepreneurial older teenager, yes. I would call you.
Exactly.
But yeah, there apparently some of these, I believe one of the Brutus the Barber beefcakes goes for quite a pretty penny. The Dusty, as you said, and my favorite, Kamala, but not just any Kamala, the Kamala with the moon on the belly.
Yes,
Mike.
Yes. That's right.
But we're gonna get into all the different ones.
I love it already.
I think what we need to do is we need to go through series by series, all right?
Let's do it.
And what I want to, as we go through, a couple of different points I want to touch on. So, first of all, very basic, did you have the guy, did you not have the guy, as we go through? Okay? Then anyone where you have a specific memory of the time you got them, if it reminds you of anything else that happened. For me, there's one thing that's completely unrelated that I think is brilliant that I will tie one of mine into. I recounted this story to my very patient girlfriend a couple of weeks back. And in true Joe Lanza style, the devil was in the detail of this story. And I was quite long in explaining it, as I probably will be again here on this show. And she thought it was the stupidest, worst story. She was actually angry at me for wasting her like 3 minutes of time telling her the story. I've just hyped up that story for way more than it deserved. So any specific memories do you tie into any of these figures as we go? I want to have an overall discussion of the best and worst poses these figures. Because, Mike, I'd say there's, I don't know, about 5 or 6 stock forms that these guys came in, maybe a little more. and they were repeated on with guy on guy. So there was like lots of different, lots of guys that were like built in the same model essentially as other ones. And we'll talk the best and the worst. And I guess that's really the main things as we go through. But if you have any other things you want to mention or bring up as we go through, feel free.
Sounds good.
Okay, so Series 1, as you said, Mike, 1990. I was thinking 89 because there's someone in here. I forget who it was. Just made me think 80s. But
Macho King Randy Savage?
Yeah, a little bit Macho King, a little bit Demolition, I think, had me thinking 80s. But, of course, those guys were all still. When I look at this range, it does actually now, in hindsight, scream 1990. But we have the African Dream, Akeem.
Akeem was, yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go first.
I was going to say, Akeem was a guy where he, like, had left the promotion, too, by the time, like, 1990, like, the end of 1990 rolled around, because I think he was gone by Survivor Series. He was supposed to be on Rick Rude's team, I think, and he was replaced. So that's one thing I remember right away was, like, oh, yeah, where's Akeem been? You know what I mean? Not really thinking, like, people, like, you know, get fired from WWF at the time, you know? So he was a guy where maybe he's who you're thinking of, where like he was around until like, you know, mid 1990, and then he went back to WCW.
Now, Akeem came with the very uncreative maneuver, the body slam! Exclamation point. We will see far more creative move names as we go here, but Akeem, not a guy I had as far as I know. I have, I think, roughly in the 40 to 50 range, I would say, for these figures, but no Akeem.
Yeah, I had this one. This one did like the deal where you like move it back, and like the giant belly will just overwhelm you. You know what I mean? That was the body slam in this case. It was just like you push it back, and then it snaps forward and just knocks you over by like a sumo wrestler, you know.
There is a few great bellies, yes, in the in this. We'll get to one right now. Fat Big Boss Man.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there was multiple Big Boss Men,
mm-hmm,
but this was the fat one, the 1990 version, before he lost the weight with the Hard Time Slam and the Nightstick,
the Twin Towers version. Yes.
Yeah, Twin Towers version. Much like his Twin Towers partner, did not have this version of Boss Man. So I'm getting off to a slow start here, Mike. What about you?
I had it. I mean, I got all of these, and I guess I'll just knock out my big story for this first series right away. My dad was a supervisor for a couple of the liquor stores here in Pennsylvania, because the liquor stores are state-owned. So one of the state liquor stores at the time was in a department store in Wilkes-Barre where I grew up. And I guess going to that store, you know what I mean, visiting and stuff like that, my dad, you know, got to know people and stuff like that, and, you know, different things, whatever. And he ended up getting for me for my birthday, and I'll post a picture because I actually do have a picture of it somewhere that they took. My parents got me every single wrestler that I didn't have already in Series 1. And I think that was 1990, so what, 26 years later now, that's still maybe the best present I ever got in my life. Because what they did was, and my mom, she's so sneaky, she had a couple presents for my birthday, and I opened up the one, and it was like, say, two figures. And here I'm thinking, oh, look at this, I got two more wrestlers. And then there was one present left, and I opened it up, and it was like every other wrestler that I didn't have already. And I think I only had a couple of them, too. I think I only had, like, Axe and Jake Roberts. Jake Roberts was the first figure I ever got. So, like, to get, like, every single other wrestler, like, except for Dusty Rhodes, because Dusty Rhodes I would not get until eBay much later. It was, you know what I mean, unbelievable. So imagine being, let's see, 1990, I would have been 6 years old. That was just, like, a thing that just changed my life in a way, you know what I mean? And here I am now, a 31-year-old man, and I'm talking about this moment as if, like, I just won the Super Bowl, you know what I mean? It's one of the greatest moments of my life. But, yeah, man, like, I do remember getting all these figures, and I love the Boss Man. I was always a big Boss Man fan. I still am. I just think, Yeah, it's a really cool figure, though. I think it came with, like, with the nightstick, and I think it did the deal where I think, like, it had, like, the arm where, like, you could sling the arm back a little bit. You know what I mean? It
would, like, he's got the movable arm, and he's got the planted stationary legs.
Is that what it had? All right. Because I'm looking at the collector checklist, so you probably have something that's more
I've got pictures. If you want me to send you a link.
Send me over the Skype instant message deal. That'd be
will do. Well. But next guy on here, you just mentioned him, Demolition Axe. Mm-hmm. Again, not one for me. A series one. This was probably out before I started properly watching wrestling. Mm-hmm. So I think I probably only got some of these. I think how it worked with in my local stores is. Occasionally they brought back some of the old ones, or maybe they had never had them to begin with and they just got them somehow and then brought them all some of them out or something like that. I know a few of them I saw when I was on holiday in Spain, and they were the older ones, and I was like, oh wow, and they were in Spanish packaging.
Yeah,
the Spanish card. So a few of them I got through that, but we'll get into some later series where I'm quite prolific in which ones I have, but this one's still slow start. No Demolition Axe for me with his axe attack.
Yeah, it had like the hands like you're raising the roof. You know what I mean? You can lift
the gorilla press slam pose, axe, which we'll see multiple times throughout this.
Many times I saw Axe do that gorilla press, and now I can recreate it at home. Axe was the second figure I got, which, believe me, I after Axe and after getting all the other ones, I kind of forget where they go. So I'm not that remembering of everything here. But Axe was the second one, and the only reason I remember was because I didn't get Smash because Toys R Us didn't have it. So it's like I had the one guy without his tag partner. But I believe there was Smash. It came both as a singles wrestler, and then there was like the tag team pack too. Not to get too ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it came like in a two pack. So, but Axe was only available as a singles, and I think Crush was only available in the tag team pack. And this was like right around too when Bill Eadie's health, I guess, was getting a little bad, where they kind of had Crush work a little bit more. So, you know what I mean? Like you go with Twin Towers, Big Boss Man, and Akeem, who was gone already, and Axe. So it's kind of like you're seeing like some of these guys who by the time that they were releasing, you know, on the shelves in WWF, they were kind of being phased out or they were gone from the promotion. So.
Very true. Let's take a.
That's how it is now, though. You know what I mean? Like not to go off on a rant, little tangent here, but like they just released recently. Gosh, this shows you how long Mattel did. Adam Rose and the Bunny battle pack, two pack that I have. That I bought. I think I bought it just for the hell of actually owning the Bunny action figure. But it's like not only is Adam Rose gone, but it's like this was Adam Rose, Rosebud Adam Rose, and the Bunny, Justin Gabriel, who hasn't even been with the promotion for a year. So it's like that shows you how far the span is. Well, I guess, you know, how long it does to take to produce a toy to get it on the shelves to, you know, WWF or WWE television.
Let's group a couple of guys in here. We got Andre the Giant with the Giant Jolt as his maneuver. We've got Brutus the Barber Beefcake version 1 mm-hmm. with the sleeper hold and red scissors, but it's more like a red garden hedge clippers. And we have, let's go with Jake the Snake, as you mentioned, the first one you ever got. With the snake and the python punch. Now, I will say this, Mike. My Brutus the Barber Beefcake, because I did have both Brutai, and this one in the pink pants with the odd right hand where his fingers are really kind of separated. Mm-hmm. One of his fingers broke on my one, so it's a fingerless Brutus the Barber Beefcake I have. I don't know if that would fetch more or less money, and the other hand has a nice hole in it to hold his scissors. But this is the first guy we've come to with the spring action, Mike. The legs stuck together, the spring action, where you can essentially use the figure as a missile to launch at your sister's head. How cool is that?
Oh, it was great. And I'm actually, you just brought back a memory I even forgot, because my Brutus as well, his finger broke on it. So I bet you maybe it was just like how that action figure, the way it was produced, like if that plastic.
I would say so.
Because you know what? One of Axe's fingers broke off too, now that you mention it. So maybe it's just that whatever it was in that plastic. Wow, I haven't even thought about it. But that, now that you say it, that's. And on the Hulk Hogan too, on that Hogan, it did as well. Because, you know what I mean? Because when you're playing with these things, you know what I mean? You're a little kid. And I think it was just kind of easily fell off. But
Mike, Marty Scurll would have a field day with these action figures.
Ah, yes.
Broken fingers all around.
Exact. Too bad there wasn't a Ronnie Garvin figure, now that you think about it, right? He left the...
There is a Ronnie Garvin custom figure. When I was doing some research, yes, I did research for once for this show. There's all these freaking custom figures that people made that look proper real.
Yeah.
There's Ronnie Garvin, and it's got the packaging and everything.
There's a guy on Twitter. Amazing. There's a guy on Twitter, Custom Figures, at Custom Figures, I believe. I'm following Alan if you look it up. But yeah, he does an exceptionally great job making those packaging. I'm thinking, man, you really have to be talented at what you do to do that, because like it's really good. Like, yeah, like he made like he even makes like wrestlers now in that old packaging. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable. But yeah, real quick,
Jake,
just to go to that.
Jake with his snake. What did you make of that snake, Mike?
The snake was a pretty good quality snake, talking about how
crappy it? I was gonna say.
It was. I remember it held up pretty well over the years, you know. Better than the cheap fingers that they would make. But yeah.
I had a little lunchbox that I had all the accessories in. So like the snake, the nightstick, the scissors, all that crap. And like I kept that shit around for years, and that stuff held up really well.
That's funny, because I used to have them in a box too, and then I would put them in like later years when Jax was doing the figures. They had like a dumpster. I ended up putting them in the dumpster and I have all the things. But yeah, I probably still do have the snake around somewhere, because I did bring my Hasbros back with me when I was at my parents recently. But one thing about the Jake the Snake, I thought too, was it actually like looked like it was actually not really a bad figure in terms of like it kind of looked like him. You know what I mean? Like some of these wrestlers now that Mattel does, they don't really look like the guy at all, or it's a really bad head scan. These I thought were, you know, I mean, these were a little bit well done in terms of like looking like the guy, as opposed to, you know, some of the wrestlers that they have now, like, you know, Mattel that, you know, will release, and they don't look like, you know, they don't look like them at all, or they're terrible. Like Becky, poor Becky Lynch. She's finally getting an action figure after all these years, you know, and it looks awful. So it's just too bad, you know, how some of these are. Like Kofi Kingston has like a really goofy face on his latest one too. But yeah, I always thought they look pretty good. Just to add that little side note, because a lot of action figures that come out, they don't really look that good.
Did you have Andre?
I did, yeah. And
oh, you have all this.
Yeah, I had everybody except for Dusty. And now that you think about it too, Andre's another guy that was gone by the time that these came out, because Andre, you know what I mean? So yeah.
Yeah, true. We have our first Hulk Hogan popping up in a Hulk Rules tank top, Gorilla Press Slam. So he's got the spread fingers for the Gorilla Press Slam, like a Demolition Axe. Mm-hmm. We got our first Macho Man as well. The orange trunks with stars with yellow boots, which, as I did research, I don't think I had ever seen this version before. I didn't know there was a Macho Man this early. I thought Macho King was the first one.
Yeah, well, Macho King was who was around, or at least that's, you know, I mean, that's what his latest gimmick was. I don't know if he dropped the King by November of 1990, but I'm trying to think, like, this was like a figure that would be like more like in the LJN, like it was like a, because that was like what he did in the 80s, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, like he was Macho King even going back to 1989. So having a Macho Man Randy Savage, I mean, you still had, no, he was the King, because in Rumble 91 he hit Ultimate Warrior with the scepter, so he still was Macho King, because he didn't really become Macho Man until like the summer, you know what I mean, when he proposed to Elizabeth, you know. So it's kind of like weird how this was a little out of order with the year that went by, you know, with the glasses and stuff like that. Because yeah, he didn't wear trunks, I don't think, ever again. You know what I mean? He was getting a little old. I think Randy was a little embarrassed, so he started wearing the pants.
We got our first Ultimate Warrior, green tights, pink face paint.
Oh, it's
legs stuck together. So you got a missile Ultima Warrior used as a weapon at your convenience. We got their first Million Dollar Man in the black tux with the Million Dollar Title. The Million Dollar Title was a very satisfying accessory just to close and open. There was a good feel to it, I remember.
Yeah. It was. It was very nice. I still have mine somewhere, too. But you know what, man? I loved – like, I would have, like, all the other wrestlers would wear the Million Dollar Title, too. Like, that was, like, a legit –
Oh, it changed around? Oh, you had the title would be on the line?
That was it. Yes, that was a – that title went around, and it's
– Okay, well, we got to stop and then have a little sidebar here, Mike. Playing with your figures, having matches, what was your – how did you go about this? Were you a – Because I feel there's two schools of two crops of people when it comes to this. There were the kids who, like me, took it very seriously. There'd be tournaments, there'd be leagues, there'd be storylines, there'd be this and that and the other, entrances, everything. And the matches would be very slow-paced and methodical, and they would have meaning. There'd be trying to do with the figures I'd be trying to recreate things I actually saw and do moves that the guys did and have it tie into what actually happened the course of matches on TV. Then you'd have the other version, like my fucking friend Paul O'Connor. This guy, let me tell you about Paul O'Connor. I'd go to his house and I'd want to have my nice slow paced methodical matches where we do the moves and the spots. And he would just be just bashing them all together and throwing eight guys into the ring and throwing this guy on top of that, just throwing them around recklessly, just no regard for anything. Guys would be getting chipped. I remember he had the demolition, smash an axe like yourself, Mike. I didn't have the demolition, but I didn't want the demolition after I saw the state of his demolition.
Yeah.
The face paint was all chipped off. There was, like, never mind broken fingers. These guys were missing legs and stuff. This was a war zone in Paul O'Connor's house.
Yeah, man, smash them around all willy-nilly. I'm like you, Alan. Like, I had a notebook when I was really young. I knew how to read and write when I was very little, so I was very lucky where, thank God for wrestling. Like, I think, you know, that's part of the reason why I liked to write so much maybe when I was little, because I would just write down all the matches that I would want to do. I would have my little tournaments for the titles. Tournaments were kind of something that, like, even before I even knew, like, what a tournament was, like, I would kind of do them too. You know what I mean? Where it was just something that, like, I would try to reenact, like, the like King of Cable, you know, that WCW used to do back in the day in 92. But I was just very – but then again, that's how I was with, like, all of my stuff. That's why most of the figures I have now are, like, I still have the original ones. Like, I do – buy some recently, but the ones I have, you know, or maybe some of the ones I still had, like, I was just a kid where, like, I kept very just good condition of all my stuff, where I would, you know, go to my friend's house a lot, and, like, they would just, you know what I mean, like, they were just kind of, like, wild with their stuff, you know what I mean, and I was, like, very proper and neat and OCD with everything, you know, so they were,
same.
I try to keep them
pretty good. We're brothers from another mother, Mike.
All right. That's why we're still crazy about this stuff now, Alan. You know what I mean? As we're, you know, in our 30s, because I think being that young...
Paul O'Connor's not doing a fucking podcast at 10 to 1 in the morning on a Thursday night.
Absolutely not. I bet you he wishes that he can, but he can't.
I bet you he wishes he was. He's in fucking Coppers or somewhere right now in town, and he's on beer number 27. Yeah, right. He's like, you know, I wish I was more careful with my action figures. I wouldn't be courting these horrific women in Coppers right now as I blurrily slum around the place. And yeah, I bet you he wishes. I sure hope this guy who I haven't seen since we were probably 11,
he's still out
who my sole memory of his house, he just destroyed his wrestling figures, and he could be like prime minister of some country right now, and like I wouldn't know. And I'm here putting a whole thing on him.
He's some multi-millionaire,
Rick Rude and Demolition Smash are the last two in this one. I didn't have either. Got nothing really to say about either. Mike, anything you want to say to wrap up series one?
Yeah, Rude was cool. Rude also, Jesus, I mean, another guy who left WWF by the end of 1990. And wait, who was the other guy? I'm sorry.
And Demolition Smash.
Oh, Demolition Smash. I like the Smash. Smash is a really cool figure. It had like it was like a little loose and like it had with like the legs and stuff like that. You can move the arms, you can move the legs. I didn't like how the Ultimate Warrior with the legs being together, like
Legs being together was a hindrance for, like I said, good for a missile, but not good for working matches. Limited workers, the guys with stuck together legs.
Yeah, and like say like what Rick Rude, where the arm was kind of like locked like in that headlock. You know what I mean?
I think that they only have that for him. 1-2-3 Kid and Ric Flair.
Yeah, they only used it a couple times.
I didn't get any of them. And I remember when I saw Flair come out and I was like, oh, who's this fucking old guy with this stupid pose? And they always looked really skinny as well, the guys with that pose. Like, look at Rude. Look at skinny legs, skinny waist. Like, I don't want a figure like that. I want a big belly like Akeem or Earthquake or Boss Man, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And like, and you want to do your drop kicks and you want to do your leg drops. And it was like, all right, I could put the guy in a headlock, but you know what I mean? You can't really, there's like some things where you can't do with him, you know, but, yeah. So
headlock city, baby.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
All right. Series 2, Dusty Rhodes, you mentioned with the Dust Buster. So gotta ask, Mike, how much did you drop on eBay to get yourself a Dusty Rhodes?
I thought he was in Series 1. That's really weird. And I'm not, because I'm reading the same site you did. So that's why I thought he was in the first series. I think I only paid like $20-$30 for it. You know what I mean? I paid for it loose. Like, I didn't have it on the card. And the reason I got it was I think I got it a couple years ago just to have it because it was such a rare thing back in the day when I was growing up. I would read about it, you know. So I think I just wanted to own it now that I had a job and had money to buy one, you know. But it's a cool figure. It, like, it's like the Andre in a way, you know what I mean, with the pose. A little bit. You know, it had, like, kind of the what do you call it? You know, the big belly and stuff like that. It didn't do much, but it's cool. I thought it was a cool figure. It had like a cool, silly, dusty look on him too, you know, for the facial expression.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I think this might be the first. With 2x4. I think this might have been the first one I got. Now, as I'm thinking about this, so there was the 2x4 he came with, but I somehow had a bigger version of it. I think it was the 2x4 that came with the LJN version. I don't know how I ended up with that, whether my cousin left it over at my house or something like that, because my cousin was a bit older than me. Maybe he had the LJN ones. But I had two 2x4s. And for whatever reason, the one that came with Hacksaw got burned by something, and there was a big burn mark at the end of it on my one. So I don't know what was going on with my Hacksaw 2x4s, but Hacksaw as a figure himself, awesome, loved it. I think it was my first one. His finisher was the Hack Attack, which just that works for me as a name, and just an overall great figure with an awesome head, which, like you said, they did a good job making these.
Oh, yeah.
For the simplicity of them, they did a good job nailing those expressions. This guy looks proper like old Hacksaw.
Yeah, Hacksaw's got that big look on his face. You know, the thing I wonder maybe if when they put out the first series like wave of these Hacksaw figures, if they changed the 2x4, like if there was something to it where like they're like all the, you know, there was something maybe hazardous to it. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm just speculating because I also think that they did have two separate 2x4s because I'm pretty sure, like, I remember that myself now, you know what I mean? Like, one, it was like a little darker, it was like a little like darker brown than the original one. So I don't,
one was a lot bigger. The one I had that was bigger wouldn't fit in his hand. That's why I think it was maybe the LJN one.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting.
Well, one accessory that was great quality and certainly fit in the hand was the guitar of the Honky Tonk Man. And I don't know, I never really liked the figures that didn't come ready for battle. Your Million Dollar Man, as we'll get to, in his suit. Honky Tonk Man in his Elvis suit here. But you gotta say, the level of detail put into the fineries of this Honky Tonk Man figure, this Elvis suit he was wearing was pretty pristine. It was a great quality It's a good quality figure. Looked the part. If you wanted a guy to just to stand up on the ramp and elevate the whole production of your show, Honky Tonk Man was the guy as far as these figures went.
Yeah.
But not quite the workhorse in the ring, much like the real life Honky Tonk Man. But that guitar, man, that guitar.
It was a good guitar. Great stuff. You know what, man? Like, this had like a really awesome suit on it where like there was really good detail, like, and you know what I mean? It was like it kind of, whatever it was, you know, with the paint on it, it you know, stuck out a little bit. And you know, just feeling it was a really cool figure, you know. They did a really good job with that one.
Oh shit, you can enlarge these photos, Mike. That's awesome. Yeah. I've just enlarged it. You got some nice big belt buckle, you got a lot of musical notes, you got the collar popped. Just a very nice figure.
You could see that. You could see in that fifth picture too, like with the Spanish on the packaging. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, they must. I mean, you could still see those a lot too. You know what I mean? Like High Spot sells Hasbro's on the card still, and it's like a French version. You know what I mean? So like, I think they made more of them in overseas than they may have in the United States. There may have been a surplus where they still have them, you know what I mean, on unopened.
We got another Hogan with the Hulkster hug, a rare pose that I don't recall seeing on many of the other people. We got the Macho King. Yes, the Macho King with crown and
I love sandwich. This figure. I love it.
That was my eBay purchase because I remember getting it as a kid. And it was one that I don't know where I lost it, what stage I lost it, but I know that it wasn't in my big pile of figures that I currently owned. So about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, I went and I got it on eBay and I got it with the crown, with the scepter, and I was very delighted with my purchase.
I actually just, I started working from home a few weeks ago, and at work they gave me a laptop and two monitors to use, so I have my little workstation set up, and right under one of the monitors that I got is the Macho King figure. I didn't want to overdo it with the toys in my own little home office here, but I did like that figure so much that I'm actually looking at it right now where it's one of my favorites.
He's got a great tan.
Yeah.
And one hell of a tan.
Cool scepter, you know.
Yeah. Green suit, Million Dollar Man with the Million Dollar Belt. This was the one I had.
Yeah, I had this one too, but you know what, Alan? Think about when did he wear a green suit? You know what I mean? It was always like the black suit that he wore for the most part. Like, I don't ever remember the green tux.
Well, in his in the promo picture on this packaging, he's wearing a green one. So
I remember he did wear it. It's just he just didn't wear it like all the time. You know what I mean? But like I said, I just remember thinking like, when does he wear this suit? He rarely wears it, but. Maybe, you know, I mean, I remember, like, toward the end of his run, he was kind of switching up the colors a little bit, too. Like, I think he was even wearing white, but I forget when he was wearing green, but I'm sure there was a time. And, of course, the great Million Dollar Belt there.
We got Roddy Piper. We got another Ultimate Warrior with the white trunks. And we got Superfly Jimmy Snuka with, of course, the legs stuck together, high flyer spring action, which... and he's got the Superfly what do you call it?
The I love
fingers.
Yeah, like
I love you.
Yeah, the I love you.
Yeah, he's got that going on, which is a kind of cool little detail. But Roddy Piper, again, another guy not in his gear, he's wearing the skirt and he's wearing the t-shirt, but a very cool looking figure.
Yeah, Roddy Piper, man, you could find those. It's still at any flea market near you. Like, there's,
oh, yeah?
I always see Roddy Piper figures. I think I have about like 4 or 5 of them. Not like I go to flea markets, but I remember the few times I have, I always saw them. And just like seeing them on eBay, it just seems like an abundance of Roddy Piper figures for whatever reason. Maybe everybody bought one, you know, as a kid. The Warrior one is really cool too. Like, has like really cool colors. Usually, you know, white. You know what I mean? It's kind of just a plain color, but there's like some really cool like neon colors, and especially like a 91 at that time, you know, neon was pretty hot. So,
and a serious mullet in this version of Warrior.
Yeah, quite the hair. Yes.
Speaking of mullets, we have tag teams coming out in series 2, and we got the Rockers with both with the spring action high flyer pose. Their finishers are the Rocker Dropper and the Rocker Shocker, which pretty much the same move, I guess, because you're, as we've talked about, pretty limited with these spring guys. Demolition Smash and Crush, more or less the same Smash and Crush from Series 1 by the looks of it. And the Bushwhackers, who had their very unique Bushwhacker walk kind of pose that they did, and could result in the moves the Down and Out Blaster and the Down Under Pounder. Which Down Under Pounder sounds like something that they were trying to have rhyme and then it didn't, and they just gave up and went with it anyway.
All right. First off, I'll start with the Bushwhackers and work backward. All right, so Bushwhackers, they were, in a weird pose, too. But you know what, though? It made sense because, the one did, the Bushwhacker walk. And the other one, you would lift the arm up, the leg would go up a little bit. And I thought that was really cool. They didn't have that too often. So I kind of thought that was just, something different. You know what I mean?
And you know what you could kind of do with the Bushwhackers? You could kind of lift one guy's arm up, put the other guy's head in it,
yes,
and do the battering ram.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you were able to do that. So I thought that was pretty cool. The demolition, you were just talking about before, Smash, Crush replaced Axe. It was only slightly different.
Oh, that is Crush. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, actually, if you look in that picture that you're looking at, too, it's Axe until you click on it. But they came with masks, so I thought that was really cool, coming with the mask, because, that was, right around when Demolition was wearing masks and stuff like that. They only did that, toward the end of the run, or at least the S&M part, anyway, with that stuff. I thought that was a cool entrance when they would do that. So the Rockers, though, like we were saying, it was very limited on what you could do with the Rockers, and being a kid, and I was a huge Rockers fan, you couldn't... You really had to, I don't know, you couldn't, do your... say, for example, you couldn't do your Shawn Michaels super kick because the feet were together, So you kind of have to just give a guy a big drop kick. But I think, though, the Rockers, it's a pretty pretty cool set just because, everybody loved the Rockers. I don't know if they really looked like them. A lot of these wrestlers, the figures looked like some more than others, and this one was just, it was all right, but it did the trick for me because I was a
big smiley heads on them.
Yeah.
Series 3, this is really getting into my wheelhouse. So I've got pretty much all these guys. We got the jacked up version of Boss Man. No belly anymore. He's got a big clothesline pose, which we haven't talked about this one yet. The finisher is the Jailhouse Jam, but he's all set up to do the old clothesline. You got to admit, it's pretty satisfying picking one wrestler up, standing him in front of your wrestler that does the clothesline gimmick, and pulling that arm back, releasing, and letting him fly through with the clothesline and just take a dude's head off.
It was great. And you could even do it, close it up, too, or you could do a punch as well. So
you could. It was. Good point.
I enjoyed that a lot. That was cool. And I thought, it was like a little slimmer Boss Man, too, like you were saying, with the beard and stuff, and no sunglasses this time around, too, so it was kind of a little different, so you had a little bit of both. Would you ever have the – oh, no, actually, no, because you didn't have the first. But I was going to say, would you ever have the Boss Man wrestle the Boss Man, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Or a Boss Man tag team?
Yeah.
No, I didn't have them, but I probably would have if I could. Greg the Hammer Valentine, who also has the big lariat, but he's also got the Hammer Jammer – the Hammer Slammer on his legs. The Hammer Jammer. No, wait. Was Hammer Jammer what Garvin had? What was the thing? No, Garvin's was the Heartbreaker, wasn't it?
Well, no, Garvin had the Hammer Jammer in that Royal Rumble match, right?
That was it. He was the Hammer Jammer, and what was Hammer's one called?
Well, he just had him, what do you mean, he had him, in a
figure. The thing on the leg?
Yeah, he had that on his leg, so, that he would,
Did he have a name for that?
That he couldn't give him, the figure four or something like that, right? I don't know. Wait, well, if Valentine
no,
had
it? Was,
I don't know.
Valentine had the thing on his leg, and it made the figure four more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he wrestled Garvin had his own version of it, and he called it the Hammer Jammer.
Yeah, I forget what Valentine called his, though.
Maybe... maybe he didn't have a specific name for it, but his finisher here was the Hammer Slammer. He has the little gimmick on the leg, and what I liked is there was the legs were a little bent, and there was a little space between them that you could hook on a nice figure four if you wanted to. You couldn't really cross it up perfect, but you could kind of tie the guys up and hook on a bit of a figure four, work a submission spot into your match if you so please. Turn that some bitch over, reverse the pressure, really get the swings of momentum going in your match as you wrestled.
Yeah, I really like that a lot. And you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it and I don't see it on here, wasn't there a Greg Valentine when he was still in Rhythm and Blues?
No, I saw that as a custom.
Maybe it was a custom, but I swear that I saw like a Toys R Us ad when they had that advertised too, and that was like right around when Rhythm and Blues, I think, broke up. So maybe it was like short released or something like that. I don't know, because it's not even on this checklist that I'm looking at too that I also had opened up. But I could have sworn I do remember like seeing at the time in a Toys R Us ad. So I'll have to do more research. I'm not as prepared on that one as I thought now that I just remembered it, but I could have sworn there was. Maybe I'll look during the while you're talking.
Now we've got one of my favorite ones, Mike. The Brutus the Barber Beefcake 2, with the Beefcake flat top being his finisher. You got a black scissors, you got black gloves. They've split the legs apart for this guy. So when I got this guy, the previous purple pants joint legged version got cast aside for this dude. He was just you had the zebra tights, the zebra print tights with the red down the side, white boots like a true main eventer. This Brutus Beefcake was a hell of a figure, and he had the movable arms. This was just good stuff all around.
You know what's crazy is we were talking about all these figures. I don't know if I had this one.
No, it was one of my favorites.
Yeah, and I was gonna say I love the style of it too, because it's nice with the legs. Like spread apart a little bit. The arms aren't in any ridiculous pose either, you know, as silly as that may sound. You know what, real quick too, by the way, Greg Valentine, Rhythm and Blues, it was a prototype, and I guess it's rare, but it's in the ad, but it was never released. So there you go.
Now, let's see. We also got Earthquake. We, of course, got another Hulk Hogan with the Hulkaplex this time. We got Coco Beware and Frankie.
Yeah.
Let's just finish off the set here. We got a Macho Man who's without crown and scepter, but essentially the same figure as Macho King. We got Mr. Perfect with yellow tights, and we got Sergeant Slaughter with a pointy finger. Sergeant Salute is his move that he comes with. I got pretty much all these dudes. Love the Earthquake. Great big belly figure. It can move the legs to do the Earthquake Splash. Gotta love that.
I love the tattoo. It had the tattoo. I thought that was really cool. You know what I mean? Having like
the tiger on the shoulder.
Yeah, Earthquake figure was awesome. Really, really great figure, I thought. And really cool little accessories too, because he had Frankie. I thought Frankie the parrot was a really cool little accessory. I still have that somewhere, I think. Old Frankie.
The Mr. Perfect was, I thought that was pretty great. Now, I have to say, it said he came with Perfect Plex, but a little bit of false advertising, because I don't know anyone who'd be able to actually execute the Perfect Plex from the way they have him set up. I don't know if there would be a way. They've given you the one arm bent to hook the head with, and then the other arm is very movable. But you'd want to be quite the talented wrestling figure player to execute a flawless perfect.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Unfortunately, Mr. Perfect, while it was, you know, a cool figure, it wasn't, you know, the best to do a lot of your moves in, unfortunately.
Sergeant Slaughter, cool figure, but the hat. Kind of a guy working a match with a hat. So that ruined it for me. But a cool-looking figure there for Sarge.
Ooh, actually, I think, Alan, there's three more on the next page if you actually look on this.
Oh, they're all part of Series 3.
Yeah, there's three.
And I have all these, too. The Natural Disasters, the other side of it, Typhoon. And I was a big Typhoon fan. Loved me some Typhoon. Loved the Natural Disasters in general. But when they turned face, I loved Typhoon so much. And I remember specifically getting Typhoon and being in the car park of Woody's or something like that, which is like your what do you guys call it over there?
Walmart,
hardware kind of thing.
Oh, Ace Hardware or the Home Depot.
Home Depot, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, Woody's. I remember being in the car park of Woody's, and I got myself a Typhoon and whatever toy store was nearby, and I was a happy chappy. My parents could have spent 6 hours in Woody's that afternoon, and I wouldn't have complained because I had me a Typhoon to play with in the car. So
it was a cool figure, so I don't blame you. You know, You know what? Yeah, because I was just saying, when I saw Earthquake, I'm thinking, I think they – I could have sworn they released a Typhoon, so – Typhoon was a really cool figure too, and with Earthquake as well, you can kind of do like the Earthquakes, the sit on, the Earthquake splash, or
yeah, there was belly drops and ass drops all around when I got that when I got these guys.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I really liked that because I really liked the what do you call it? I really liked the just like how like you could still do things, but it was also like a big figure as well, so it was kind of like a little bit of both. And the Texas Tornado, probably one of my favorite poses because it was a little unique to just the Texas Tornado. I think maybe someone else had it, but you can kind of do like the tornado, the tornado punch with it. Was it built here? The Texas Twister. And it was – I really like the design of it. You know what I mean? I thought it was like a really cool figure. It was basically in the Raven pose the entire time. But it was a little bit different where you were able to kind of move it around. So I did like that figure a lot.
Now, before we started, I brought Sarah in here and we were looking at a few of these. And she informed me that she had quite a few figures that she had gotten herself as a child. But then she got a whole load of them when her her cousin from England, who convicted football hooligan in England, might I add. Convicted football hooligan in England when he was younger, he gave her his whole box of figures he had, and she was looking at Texas Tornado and she was saying, oh, that was cool because you could spin it the whole way around, like you could totally spin. I said, no Sarah, you couldn't spin the whole way around. That's how you'd break him. If you tried to twist him the whole way around, he'd break. The mechanics weren't built for it. You could do like an 80% twist at most.
Yeah.
You couldn't spin. If you bent that thing too far back, he was going to break. You'd get that little crack. You'd hear that little snap. And then all of a sudden, your Texas Tornado figure would be a bit looser around the waist. And I can tell you, when I went to Paul O'Connor's house, his Texas Tornado figure, it was pretty goddamn loose.
Yeah, I never even tried to. I remember it would spin back pretty far, but I would never like risk it where I would actually.
So you're a smart man, Mike, like me.
Snap it like we were talking. I think the only other one, now that I looked a little bit ahead, was Tatanka. From what I see here, Tatanka, like in the latest.
Oh, yeah, good shout. You know, when you said it, I was like, I don't know. I don't think there is anyone else, but you're right. Tatanka was also like that.
Because I rarely remember that. But yeah, Tatanka. And that may have been it, as far as I could tell here.
Now, this was the first Ultimate Warrior I got. This was a cool design with the tassels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the purple trunks. I like that a lot, actually. I don't know if I had this one now that I think about it. I'll have to look to see if it's in my bin somewhere. I don't know if I had this one, but I really like it a lot. It's like the very purple design here. Looks like with the
his finisher's the Warrior Wham. I'm gonna click in to see exactly how they say this works, but it was cool because you could kind of push down on his head or his shoulders, and his feet would kind of sink up into the tassels, and he kind of had this little kind of like a spring kind of a thing going. It was pretty cool.
El Ultimo Guerrero. You see that? Look at it. I'm looking at the Spanish packaging.
Oh, nice. Ultimo Guerrero. So
that's what his name would be, huh? Adult.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sargento Slaughter.
That is awesome. I can't figure.
Oh, it would just.
Oh, do you know what that was? As you press down, the feet would kind of go up, but his arms would move up and down with it.
Ah. Oh, yeah. All right.
Okay, so Series 3 tag teams, we've got LOD, Hawk, has the stuck together legs because he's the high flyer of the team, I guess. And Animal has the gorilla press slam. So they come with the Hawk Attack and the Doomsdayer. So you could do a little bit of a Doomsday device with these two, you know? Animal is sturdy. You can set a guy up on his shoulders and you stick Hawk up in that top rope, push the spring down, have him come flying off. You could hit a nice Doomsday device.
Yeah, that was pretty well made for it. I didn't have this. I didn't have this one or the Nasty Boys, actually, because...
Oh, the Nasty Boys were so good, Mike.
They look awesome, yeah.
Yeah, oh, those are some great figures. Knobs has got the big clothesline. Sags is just a kind of versatile. Well, you got the spread out bent legs. You got arms that move around. He's a versatile figure. And yeah, they come with the Nasticizer and the Punk Pounder. So perhaps a move that Mickey Gall will be using in August. Pounder. And Series 4, we got a classic. It's on display in my bedroom. I won't deny it. It is Bret the Hitman Hart, black shirt. It's with the Heart Attack. Bret, as he was on the ascent, probably Intercontinental title type level, Bret Hart. And I remember the day I got this, very excited. I got this. My pal got the British Bulldog. I ended up getting British Bulldog myself later with his big military press slam. Pretty good start to Series 4 with Bret Hart and British Bulldog, Mike.
Yeah, Bret Hart was one of my favorite figures too. Obviously, being a Bret fan, and it was kind of versatile where you can move it around. I didn't like how it was wearing the sunglasses because it's not like Bret wore his sunglasses while he wrestled, but it was a Bret figure at the time when I was he was huge. So I'm still a huge Bret fan now, but it's like, you know, he was God. So I think I could just take what I can get at this point. There had to be something weird, by the way, not to interrupt you. I'm sorry. But, like, looking up, because I'm looking at it, it only has Series 4. There's only four guys, so...
Yeah,
I'm wondering,
I was just going to say.
When I clicked on Ricky the Steamboat's figure, which is an unbelievable... Like, it's a beautiful figure. Like, the colors on it and the design of it, it's awesome. Like, if you look at that, there's some of the Series 3 figures in there, too. So I'm wondering maybe if, like, they kind of, like, mixed up Series 3 and 4, like, a little bit, like... kind of like release both like around the same time or something, you know what I mean? And just kind of swapped out four of them. I don't know what happened. Yeah,
very possible. But Ricky Steamboat, I didn't have this Steamboat. A buddy of mine did, I remember. And it was, yeah, looking at that there, the dragon headdress, the wrist gauntlets, that's one you could stick on the mantelpiece and it would look pretty cool.
Yeah, so like when you would like move the neck down on this one, like, the thing in the back would still be there, and it was like a really cool like visual. What would you call that? Like his little head thing in the back there, but
the dragon,
yeah,
headdress,
yeah, well, yeah, I guess whatever. Well, yeah, his little the outfit. It was awesome. It had like the thing on the sleeves too. I love that figure. That was a really really cool one. But again, it's not like Ricky Steamboat wore that when he actually wrestled. So like you're having a guy, you know, you're wrestling with the guy in his ring gear.
We got Undertaker with a top hat, yeah, which Mike will not approve of, is the ginger hair Undertaker.
Yes.
A later one will come out with darker hair. He's got the big clothesline. Definitely, I don't think this is the version I have because I know something about the one that is later is something that I know I definitely had. So I don't think I had this early incarnation of Taker.
Yeah, I think I did, but I'll have to go and check because that the ginger hair looks familiar. But yeah, they did darken it as it went on, there's the later series came down. I'm not sure, but really cool figure though. I think it, you know, really cool look with the gray gloves. And what I liked about this one too is that like it had like a little muscle to him, so I thought that was a pretty cool little touch on that one. Even though like the Undertaker, I don't ever remember, was like a huge muscle guy, but you know, looked good.
Series 5, big series here. This is really getting in my wheelhouse. We got another Hogan. God damn. I don't know how many we're up to at this point. But we got IRS, which I have, with the write-off slam. He's got the suspenders, the tie, the shirt, everything. I think I used him as a jobber a lot in my leagues.
Yeah, it's like a real, like, loose, like, a real, like, not loose figure, but it's, like, a real, like, slim figure. You know what I mean? Like, the way that the body is set up on this when you're talking about how, like, Rick Rude is real slim. This one's, like, real small compared to some of the other ones, too. Like, say, like, Rick Martel, who was in this line, is, you know what I mean? It was, like, a little bit of a different body mold to him.
We've got New Generation era Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Yeah, the checkered boots, genie pants, the great goatee. I remember getting one evening when I went to do the shopping with my mom, and I got to get myself a Jim the Anvil Neidhart. I was so happy coming home with it. And I was a big fan of the Jim Neidhart figure. Macho Man. Here's another classic one. Again, he's not in the wrestling gear, but I don't know. They really, with a lot of these guys who weren't in, they're just plain trunks or whatever, they really did put a lot of effort into the costuming and just making the figure look cool. And for what it lacked in maneuverability within the ring, it made up for in just how cool it looked. And this Macho Man figure with the all pink the outfit and then the white jacket with the huge yellow tassels hanging off the arms, green hat, just it looks, it's such a great figure.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, real colorful. I like it a lot. It looks really good. Like if you were to display it now, you know what I mean, it may not have been good for a kid who's 7 wanting to play with it, you know, with his little wrestling ring, but you know, if you want to just have it, you know, displaying on a shelf or something like that, that's really cool.
We got Mounty. We got Sid Justice, we got Skinner, we got Virgil, we got Warlord, a lot of lower card dudes here popping up. And the last one I want to mention, and Mike, you can come back on any of these you want to in a sec, but here's my story I talked about at the start of the show. My most significant memory of getting one of these figures and what it ties into is Rick the Model Martel, which I got on my birthday in 1993, and it was the day that Mother Teresa visited Dublin and got, like, freedom of the city or something like that. And I remember specifically being in the sitting room. My parents were watching the news. Mother Teresa was on the news. They were talking about this, and then the doorbell rang. And my buddy and his mom came because they were collecting me to go to their house and for a play date or whatever. And they brought my birthday present, which was a Rick the Model Martel action figure. And yeah, I was delighted with events, to turn of events of me. All focus of Rick the Mother Teresa went out the window, and I was all about the Rick Martel.
I love that story, man. I was going to say, I love that involved Rick Martel of all people, too. That's phenomenal. I think.
And I remember as well, this was probably before this day, but I remember going somewhere with that same friend and his mom, and I was saying that's what I wanted for, they were like, what one do you want for your birthday or whatever? And I was like, oh, I want the Rick Martel. And then I was like, he's the one in the pink underwear. And his mother was just, I remember his mom's reaction. Me and my buddy were just laughing. I remember his mom's reaction just being like, oh, dear.
Yo, I love that. I think Rick Martel, man, that was a really cool figure because it was like a different design to him in a way, like where it was just him and his ring gear, you know what I mean? Or I'm sorry, his ring gear wasn't wearing, like, you know, his the scarf or anything like that, you know? I wish it came with, like, a little arrogance bottle, but it sadly didn't.
It came with the arrogance splash, though, however you managed to do that.
Yeah.
But any other of these guys that ring a bell with you.
Yeah, the Mountie figure is awesome. If you don't have that, that's one of those figures that really looks awesome to display, probably more than it did to, you know, use it as a play, you know, a play action figure. Because it was wearing the hat and the sunglasses and the jacket, so it looked a little different. But that's a really cool figure, and it had, like, a little cattle prod with it, too, if you kept that. The Warlord, for as much as I'm more of a Powers of Pain Warlord guy than I am this, you know, this Warlord, it was a pretty cool looking figure in terms of, like, it had, like, his ring gear on it, too, and, you know, like, the colors. I thought it was pretty badass, actually. I probably had better Warlord matches with my Hasbros than the Warlord had in real life.
I certainly had better matches with Virgil than the real Virgil had. That Virgil figure, it was pretty good. Throw in some drop kicks, some hurricanranas, head scissors. He got the big punch we haven't mentioned this setup yet, but the guys that have the spring arm where you pull back their arm and then it flies forward. Just the arm, and it moves in a forward and back motion. And it's just this straight big punch. And for Virgil, I guess that was called the Bodyguard Bash.
Yeah. Sid Justice can do, like, the powerbomb pretty well. And I guess the move was the powerbomb, huh? But if you look at it, like, how, like, the legs are positioned where you can kind of do that. Like, and the hands are in a way where you could even, like, lift them up, too, where Sid would put people on stretchers with Dr.
Yeah, I got Sid. I got Sid as another birthday present, actually, on that same birthday from a different friend. And I remember it was my birthday party, and we were in the cinema. And I was there was, I don't know, maybe 2-3 rows of us all sort of congregated in the cinema. And it was the middle of the movie, and, like, one of the kids from my class was coming in late. And I turned, I was like, oh, so-and-so's coming in. And I was like, and the present was passed down to me in the middle of the movie. And I was opening up the present, and it was Sid. Mm. And I was like, oh, Sid Justice. Middle of the movie. Like, I know we're at Mask or whatever movie we were at.
Yeah.
And I was talking full volume. And then I was, like, going back and, like, high-fiving him for getting me Sid Justice. And yeah, it was. I'm sure it was quite the disturbance during the cinema.
I was gonna say, you're probably like me, where, like, there's a lot of memories that you have either with these wrestlers, even, like, later on with, like, wrestling shows and different things with wrestling, where you can kind of tie that moment that you watched that wrestling show to what you were doing in your life. You know what I mean? Like, my dad will, like, still call me and ask me, like, when did we get this, you know, our air conditioner or something like that? You know what I mean? Or when did we get the TV in the bedroom? And I'll remember, oh, yeah, I think you got it around this time, because I remember watching this show on it. You know what I mean? Or this thing happened. So, like, that's why, like, you kind of, like, remember those things when you're talking about Mother Teresa 2 coming. You know what I mean? But you don't remember what movie? I remember I bought – I think I got – I'm sure I got plenty of these movies before our – because we had one movie theater was at the mall, so we'd probably go to KB's at the mall before or after, and I remember probably being more excited to open up the toy than I was to watch the movie, you know?
Yeah, I'm the same. My ability to associate things due to wrestling or soccer from when I was a big soccer fan as a kid, it's ridiculous. I don't know. I constantly freak out my parents with knowledge about things that happened when I was a kid, because I'm able to just place it and date it by, like, different wrestling things that happened or whatever. As my mom was talking to my aunt one day a couple of weeks ago, and she was just talking about a holiday we went on in 93, and she was like, oh, it would have actually been this week in whatever month. And I was like, actually, no, Mom, it was the third week of that month. Oh, wow. I noticed, because I watched 1-2-3 Kid beat Razor Ramon we were there. And I know that was the 17th. I know that that was the 17th of May. So there.
Well, we went to Ocean City with my I remember we were talking with my grandmother recently, and we were asking about this one year that we went to Ocean City, Maryland together. And I remember, it was in the fall of 1991. And why do I remember? Because we watched, I watched anyway, in Scramble Vision, SummerSlam 1991. And I ended up getting the first copy of the new WCW magazine like that next day. So it had to be around the end of 1991, you know, when I was little. So it was funny how just that random memory was so easily be able to – I remember it so easily because I had a wrestling tie-in to it. So that's funny.
Now, Mike, let's move on. We're nearly at the tail end here, but Series 6, there's a few things to talk about here, but it's really only one thing I want to talk about. The Berserker's lovely fabric vest.
Oh, yeah. Look at that thing.
Did you have the Berserker?
I didn't have the Berserker until later.
Oh.
So, like...
Oh, you did? You did get him?
I do have him, and it's, like, it's a pretty incredible figure, actually, I think. Like, when you see it, yeah.
That vest was a sweet piece of felt, whatever it was made out of.
Look at
you could take it off. You could take it off and tie it, and you could put it on other wrestlers. I think I definitely had a few different wrestlers that sported this vest.
You know, I was going to say that's why I had other people wearing the $1 million belt too. Like you would kind of put other people's stuff. You would have like, you know, someone else carrying the nightstick or something like that.
My sister reminded me recently, and I forgot about this, and I don't even know why I was doing it or why I was getting her to do it. But, she's living in Canada now, and she sent me a photo, about a week ago of, in some, I don't know, a thrift store or whatever she was walking by, and they had all I think it was LJN figures that they had in the window, and she took a photo of them and sent it to me, and I was telling her like what we talked about earlier that they were like the generation before me, and like all the ones I had were like these Hasbro ones, and she was saying yeah she thought so because she remembered. They were much smaller figures that I used to have her make clothes for out of paper.
Oh, my God.
So, so my sister was making pants out of paper for my wrestlers. And I don't know why. Would it have been, like, putting those, like, outside pants over the wrestling gear that Shawn Michaels wore or what it was, but yeah, she was making clothes for them apparently, and I vaguely remember it. I don't really remember why, but shocked me that she remembered.
This is a great podcast. You just jogged another memory. My grandmother was great at sewing, and I remember she would like sew me like little ring gear too, and my grandfather was a carpenter, you know, and he built like you know ring steps in a ring before you know the Hasbro officially made that one too. So yes,
that was gonna be my main thing. I was gonna get there at some point, the ring, which I think I've talked about my ring on the show before. But screw it, we gotta do it again. But anyway,
go for it.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah, but I do remember now that you say it. Like I would try to have like my grandmother or even myself. Like, and I guess out of paper. Or out of maybe like like scraps or something like that, you would try to make like little ring gear for the guys and kind of maybe have like where you would even pretend, Alan, where you would even try to pretend that they were WCW guys. You would try to play imagination in a way where maybe your one your one Kerry Von Erich figure was actually Lex Luger, you know, before the glue figures came out. So you would kind of make something like that.
As I think about it, Mike, you know what I think I got her to do? Was I would be legit having my wrestlers sell injuries from previous matches, and the stuff we were making was like bandages. So like a guy would have an injured arm, and like she'd make up like a paper arm band, and we'd sellotape it over the guy's arm.
Sell the injury.
Sell the injury. Yeah, I think that was one of the things we.
That's
we did.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So Berserker and his fabric vest, quite awesome. You also had El Matador, Tito Santana, Papa Shango, Repo Man, Tatanka, and Ric Flair with the stupid pose, and his move, the Flair Snare.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It did, like, that had, like, the Rick Rude with the headlock, yep.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think,
Did you have Papa Shango? I didn't have Papa Shango, but it's a cool figure.
Yeah, I had Papa Shango... I don't know if I still have like the bones around the neck, but I do have Papa Shango. Yeah, it's a really cool figure with the hat. The hands are pretty cool too, because if you look at that one picture, and anyone listening at home, you could look up Papa Shango Hasbro on Google. You could probably find it where it kind of had, in a way, it kind of did everything where you kind of had like the open hand. and it kind of had the closed fist where it's like, all right, you want to do a slap, you could slap him. You want to do a punch, you could punch him. It was kind of like, you know what I mean? He kind of had a little variety of little both moves, you know? It wasn't like an axe where you kind of have just open palms, you know, like that kind, you know?
Series 7, and we get into a couple of dudes I got for Christmas that I remember playing with at Christmas morning mass. Razor Ramon, Kona Crush, which is just a great figure. Great. That Crush figure, goddamn, that's awesome. Yeah. And then we've got Kamala Star on belly and Kamala Moon on belly. We've got Nails and his Jailhouse Jab. And we got another one I got that Christmas morning, Shawn Michaels, HBK, and Owen Hart with a rocket blast. Owen Hart, the new generation version of
High Energy. It was like the new Foundation Hart, you know.
New Foundation, I should say, not New Generation. But it's Owen's gear was the same for both High Energy and New Foundation, so hard to tell.
Yeah, you know what? If this was released in 93 and you still have Nails, who was gone like right at the beginning of 93 too, it was probably maybe, I don't know, because High Energy started like the end of 92, and I think maybe New Foundation may have been around that time. I'm not sure. So,
well, New Foundation were in the Royal Rumble 92 Knickerbocker Arena, right. Against Orient Express.
And High Energy were in Survivor Series 92 against the Head Shrinkers. So it's somewhere. Yes. So that's why it's somewhere in between there.
Yeah.
And Razor. No, it had to be around maybe like the fall because Razor debuted around you know, the end of 92. I love that Razor, by the way. That's a really cool figure. Really cool look, the, you know, like the face. It had like the gold chains around the neck, which were really awesome. Like the Razor tights, it had like a metallic like gold on it, so like it was like reflected. I thought that was a really cool, really well made figure. And Crush was really great too. Like I said, I like those, the colors, like the purple and the yellow on them, you know, with the Kona Crush. That was cool. All of these, I'm looking at all of them. Every single one that they did in, like, I guess, you know, it's called like the yellow card series, you know, because the card were yellow for the packaging. They're all kind of really cool figures, you know, in their own way. That even the Nails.
I love the Shawn. I love the Shawn figure, and you could do the sweetest elbow drop from the top rope with Shawn.
Yeah, because it kind of had like a little extended elbow in a way where like the elbow on it was kind of down. Yeah, that's cool.
And Shawn may have the best move name of anyone in this whole thing. The Conceited Crunch.
It was always appreciated, even if they were kind of cheesy, even, you know, read them now, like looking at them. They're a little, I do appreciate the time that it took to make some of these, because I'm reading some of them and, you know, they're cute in a way.
Series 8, got some good ones here. We got Bam Bam Bigelow with the tattoos on his head. Very nice detail on that. You got the big belly. Again, appreciated in these figures. The big belly worked well. You got Bret Hart. I forgot this until I saw it here. There was a newer version of Bret that came out. I remember seeing that in shops, but I don't know if I just opted not to get it or I don't know, maybe my parents told me I already had that one, so I couldn't get it again because it was a waste of money. But yeah, it was a more modernized version of Bret.
It's very picky, but like I've always been a pink top, black pants version of Bret more than I was black top, pink pants.
For whatever reason. Black top was a little bit earlier, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I did enjoy in the occasional big match where he'd go all pink.
Yeah, all one color. That was cool.
All black version of Bret was more sort of mid to late 90s. Like I can think of that, like when, like the late 90s when he was wrestling Austin, he'd have the all black a lot.
Yeah. And I was going to say real quick before you get to the couple other ones, that Bam Bam is just really, really nice. I really like that one a lot. Like has like the head tattoo, like you were saying, like the flame, you know, suit that he wore was just really well done. Real, real cool toy.
We got our later Undertaker with his fabric coat that you could take off. You could put on the other wrestlers. It's good stuff, like the Berserker vest. The Undertaker fabric coat was great, but just wish you could take off the hat too, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately not. That was the one downfall of that one.
You got a great Yokozuna figure. Really does the big man justice with the sumo splash.
And Mr. Perfect blue tights. I didn't get the blue tights. It was pretty much the exact same figure as the yellow tights version of Mr. Perfect. So there was real no need for it.
Yeah, that Yoko, man, that was they only made that mold obviously just for him. So like he had like a unique mold in that way, you know, because obviously it was a bigger body than everybody else. Yeah, I had the Perfect with blue tights, and I think I'm trying to think if there was like a color on the back too of it. I think it may have just been
There's some yellow on the back.
Yeah, that I clicked on. Yeah, that was. So I do remember that. That was pretty cool. So kind of had like the little change. The Narcissist Knockout, by the way, too, was Lex Luger's move. That's a great name.
We got Doink in Series 9. I didn't have Doink. We got the new gear version of Hacksaw Jim Duggan with the all blue and the American flag. Then we've got, as I change page here, Mike, as I'm sure you are also doing, we've got Million Dollar Man with this. I didn't know existed until I saw it here tonight. Million Dollar Man without a suit.
Yeah, we were talking about it. Yeah, you know what? I think I remember seeing it, but I don't know if I ever had it. So
we've got both Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott. I only got Scott, but I was a big Steiner's fan. Scott was my guy, and I loved I didn't need to get Rick because I was bringing Scott into my territory to give him the big singles push, Mike.
Yeah, right.
He got it. I think he was the champion of my figures for quite a while. He may still be the champion. Who knows?
Well, could have been in WCW if he didn't get hurt, right? But yeah. I think I'm trying to think. Like I think I had both of them. The Doink one is awesome because the hair wasn't, you know, part of the plastic. It was like a fuzzy kind of with his hair. So that was cool. Like I don't remember that on anybody else. Where like the hair was different on them. You know what I mean? Like it was like actual. Like, you know, the hair, you could touch it, you know. It was cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the other ones I like, you know, nothing much to save them. I think Rick had a really cool design on his trunks. Or on his singlet there.
Yeah, Rick looks good. I should have got Rick
in hindsight.
Pretty cool. Series 10, the head shrinkers really jumping out to me here. You talked about earlier one of the early teams where you just had one of them. I just had Fatu. Didn't get myself a Samu. I think it was in the shop and my parents told me you could only get one. So got Fatu. And Fatu, boy, you could use him as a missile. What a great guy to spring and just shoot across a room with the Fatu action figure.
I think I had at least one of them. I forget which one.
There's there's a few other different versions of dudes. There's a black tight Shawn Michaels, which I'd never seen before. There's a Marty Jannetty, which I got. It's the only Marty you can get that doesn't have the. So basically, they broke up the rockers, and they also broke up the legs of both the rockers because they were joined together legs as a tag team, and then they brought out versions of both with pretty much the same pose as singles guys, and I had both of them, and you could have yourself some good matches between Shawn and Marty, that's for sure.
Yeah, my favorite one of all these, because I think, well, we saw Razor before. What was the difference between?
I can't tell.
Yeah,
I can't tell what the difference is between that Razor, and there's also another Shawn here, which looks the exact same as. There's the black tights Shawn, the white tights Shawn, and the white tights one looks the same as the previous white tights one we talked about, but gotta talk about Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah, I was gonna say my favorite one. Yeah, that's what I was gonna get to. My favorite one of all of them, though, is Giant Gonzalez. It's just like, it's just a really, really cool looking figure. Oh my god, I love this one.
Yeah, it's awesome. I got that one on eBay. I cheated. it didn't have it. I think I'd forgotten that there was one. Then I saw it, and whoa, there was a Giant Gonzalez action figure. I need to get that. I got it on eBay about 10 years ago, I think.
I traded a Nintendo 64 game for that one. So that's how I remember.
Do you remember what game?
Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey. I think it was. I believe it was like one of the first releases ever even came out for Nintendo 64.
That's an interesting barter system. One John Gonzalez equals one Wayne Gretzky Trini Hawk.
I think I don't know if it was that and something else, but yeah, I remember like that was like the key player in the deal. I believe
you need to put a poll up on Twitter, Mike. John Gonzalez or Wayne Gretzky Trini Hawk, and see which gets more traction.
Well, you know what though? I mean, I do like that Wayne Gretzky game. Now I think about it, it was pretty good. I don't know if I had another one or if I was just bored with it. I just really wanted John Gonzalez.
Now, Series 11, I look at it here. I don't know if any of these were ever out here in Ireland because I don't remember seeing these in the shops.
Yeah.
1-2-3 Kid, Adam Bomb, the Smoking Guns, and Billy. Billy looks very like they just took Jake Roberts, put a hat on him, and changed the paint a little bit. Crush, the heel Crush, which was a scarring part of my childhood. Ludwig Borga, another scarring part of my childhood, and Black Trunks Yokozuna. So, this was the final set as we come to the end.
Yeah, this, I believe, like, this series, I don't know if I had, I think I had the 1-2-3 Kid. I'll have to go and look. And I know I have Ludwig Borga, like, I got him after the fact. But Adam Bomb, too. But the other ones, I don't remember even, like, seeing them in stores. You know, as young as I was, and I could try to remember. I remember, like, this was kind of the series where, I don't know if they didn't sell that well because maybe WWF was on a decline a little bit around this time. I'm not sure. But, like, I don't remember seeing them too often. And before you know, you kind of knew it, they were done.
Billy Gunn does the Cowboy Clobber, and Bart Gunn does the Rodeo Roundhouse. Interesting. All right, Mike, we got to talk about the rings. I did not know there was a King of the Ring, which, looking at this picture, this thing looks cool.
Yeah, you had to think, okay, so 93 was the first King of the Ring, or at least on pay-per-view anyway.
First televised one.
Yeah, so it had to come out around Series 9, if Series 9 was released in 1993. So it had to come out toward the end. So maybe if you didn't have, you know what I mean, if you didn't have the other, you know, ring by that time, it was probably, or I'm sorry, if you didn't see like the end of the series, I wonder if maybe if you just didn't see this one. But yeah, this, I love it because it's like a different, you know, it's like, it's just different than, you know, the usual ring that was out with like the yellow mat. Like, when do you see a yellow mat, you know? So I thought that was pretty neat.
0-1.
Yes.
It's called the Piss Stain Mat.
I'll tell you what, man. I appreciate a good different colored mat. You know what I mean? Sometimes people have like a blue mat, or I like that it's sometimes different than the usual gray one. I think that's...
I love, one of my favorite mats is the early 2000s bright green Xbox logo Pro Wrestling Noah mat.
Yeah, that was really cool. And even WCW toward the end of their death when they had like a blue like ring, I thought that was pretty cool in a way too. But
now, Mike, I've probably gone into detail on this before in the show, but for the topic that's in it, I gotta bring this up. My dad, I can only assume, deemed these rings not too flimsy or something, I would say, because he wouldn't let me get one.
Really?
Couldn't get the ring, and he said, I'm gonna build your ring. He's gonna build me an even better ring. And I trusted him because he had cachet when it came to this, because he built me I don't know if it was a year or two earlier, maybe it was around the same time, he wouldn't get me the turtle sewer that was you were able to buy for your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Instead, he built a turtle sewer, which, goddamn, this thing was amazing that he built. It was so cool. And he did the same with the rings, and I got myself one hell of a sturdy wrestling ring with a the key feature, I would say, don't tell Davey Boy Smith, he'll not be happy about this, but the key feature was a trap door in my wrestling ring, which is essentially the middle. If you were to think of the surface of the ring and divide it up into three rows, the middle row you could lift up and out and store all the wrestlers inside in the ring and then cover it up.
Wow.
Very cool. So all my wrestlers lived in my ring.
and really good strong ring ropes. I had strong turnbuckles to support, and it was what I really liked about it was a nice big spacious ring. It wasn't like your UK indie wrestling world of sport ring like the one they have sold officially was, because I had friends that had that, and I remember trying to do matches and I just found it too confined. But with this big football field of open space ring that my dad built, I was able to construct some epic matches. Some great, great match of the year candidates took place in that ring, Mike.
Oh, I love hearing that. I love hearing that. I think it was like a moment that you could celebrate or, you know, cherish with your dad too. Like, that's pretty cool. I had the blue ring, you know, that they released. I got it for Christmas. It was a great Christmas present. I remember just loving it. But it was very cheaply made, where I do believe, like, after, like, a couple months, the WWF logo was, like, all scuffed up, you know, with, like, all my wrestling. Yeah,
that's poor.
Yeah, and, like, yeah, it wasn't that great. But the thing that made it really complete was that it came with, like, the belt. So, you know, I mean, you got the belt with it. And I do believe they did have one, too, that made, like, sound effects, but
yes, Sarah said she had the sound effect one.
I know someone that had one. I didn't have one, but I would have liked to have one, so unfortunately I didn't. But that sounds pretty cool. Like, it would have been like, I don't know, like I got along just fine without it, but that would have been kind of cool to have, you know, just to have your little sound effects, you know. But I was making sound effects my own, so I wasn't
doing it. Putting you on the spot. Did you commentate your matches? I don't even know if I did, but it feels like something I might have done.
I mean, I would commentate. Like, I was like the Sean Mooney. Like, you know how, like, people dream to be a wrestler? Like, I never had a dream to be a wrestler. You know what I mean? Like, I think because, like, I was always a little, you know, smaller than everyone else, you know, shorter. You know, I kind of knew, like, I was a little bit of a pussy. So, like, I kind of knew, like, I wouldn't want to be a wrestler because I wouldn't want some guy walking down the aisle to put me in a body bag after the match. You know what I mean? So, like, I always kind of wanted to be Sean Mooney out of everybody. So, like, I remember, like, doing, like, the previews for it. I was a really big fan of, like, match graphics, you know, like, when they would have, like, a match where, you know, on the screen of taking place. I was really big fan of those. I was really big fan of, like, on Saturday Night's Main Event when, like, they would have, like, their own logos, you know, they would have, like, a logo before the match. So I would kind of, like, do those things. But I think, like, when I wouldn't really commentate. I think I would just kind of, like, just, you know what I mean? I would be focused on having my professional wrestling match.
Now, how about this for something I'm going to throw at you, Mike? It might be putting you on the spot a little bit. But wrestlers from the era that didn't get a figure, who would you have liked to have seen that didn't get one? Anyone that jumps out straight away?
Who didn't get one? I'm trying to think, like, most, I mean, you know, if they're releasing Skinner, I mean, they were really getting a lot of guys, but
I'll give you one that is conspicuous.
Give me one and I'll look up some in the meantime while you're doing that.
Jeff Jarrett. And I think you could have, because Jeff Jarrett was around WrestleMania 10, so you could have, like, they have Adam Bomb, they have the Smoking Guns. I think you could have done Jeff Jarrett and, I think they could have done some cool things with Jeff. I think if they did another line of figures, he surely would have been in there. Another one, let me think.
I wish they did a Power and Glory. I remember that.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now that I think about it, yeah. Power and Glory. They did a well, no, Powers of Pain were done by that time, because I think Fuji sold them. So I think they're gone by now. I was going to say, because, like, the Powers of Pain version of Warlord in Barbarian.
Fatu. Or not Fatu, Haku.
Yeah. Haku, they didn't, yeah. I don't, they never.
Haku, traditional, like, Islanders-style, flowery, three-quarter length pants. Haku would have made for an awesome figure.
Singles running, yeah.
I think that's my one, if I could have. Oh, no, I got another one. Beverly Brothers. Would have loved some Beverly Brothers. Orient Express, a Pat Tanaka figure. I'm looking up cards and seeing people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this guy. So there's actually quite a few that didn't get them. So Skinner can count himself lucky that he got one.
They didn't do White Trunks Tito Santana. I think they did El Matador, right? We just went over
the
El Matador. Yeah, they didn't do, like, Babyface Tito Santana from, like, you know, 90, you know, post-Strike Force, pre-El Matador. They didn't do him. And I, you know, just to have them, I guess. But like, yeah, I'm thinking like Power and Glory were one. I was gonna try to think of like any others. Because I'm trying to like run down pay per views in my head here. But yeah,
Nikolai Volkov, the Barbarian. Oh, imagine how good a Barbarian would have been with the antlers and everything.
That's why I could have sworn that they did do one, but maybe I'm thinking of like I saw a prototype or something like that, because that's why I was hoping that they didn't do the. That's why I was thinking the Barbarian, but I guess they didn't do one, because we just went over all of them and they didn't. So I must have been thinking of the prototype or something like that they're doing, because. Speaking of prototypes, like, I believe there was like an El Gigante figure that like Galoob was going to release when the WCW figures came out, like in 91, and I don't think it really was fully released, but I do know like there are some out there, but I don't think it's like out there, but like there's some that, you know, eventually did find their way out. But
did you have many WCW figures that mixed in with your WF ones?
Yeah, I would have them wrestle each other, and It didn't really work out, but, you know, I would try to have Sting wrestle, you know what I mean? You know, various guys, or, you know, Flair. Like, those figures didn't move at all. Like, they were pretty solid. So, like,
yeah,
you couldn't really do a lot of moves with them. But, yeah,
the only one I had, and I didn't even know who he was at the time, was Barry Windham.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause, I don't know how I ended up with a Barry Windham figure, but I did.
Yeah. Well, lucky you.
Hell to you. Well, Mike, is there anything else you want to mention on the Hasbro figures? Because we've covered a lot of bases on these guys, and I am delighted we've done this. It ran a bit longer than we were planning, but I don't care.
I'm glad it's the gem of the show.
I want to put this up as a free show, because I want people to enjoy recanting their memories like we have. And, yeah, so anything else you want to get out there about the Hasbro?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely had – okay, yeah, the LJNs, he had the Hasbros, and then he had – after this was Jax. And then you had now Mattel. And, I mean, I still collect the wrestlers now. You know what I mean? I still collect them. But what I do is I don't even take them out of the package. I'm that guy now where I keep them in the package. But, unfortunately, it's kind of a time where everything's so mass-produced that there's really no value in collecting them, as opposed to, you know, a mint.
And you got so many other people also doing that.
Yeah, everybody does it. You know what I mean? You're not making any money doing that. But the Hasbros, though, for its time, for people who do remember, I believe that they were such a key part in people that are our age, where when we were fans growing up, you know, how much we loved wrestling. There wasn't like a WWE Network, you know what I mean? There wasn't like we were able to watch wrestling anytime. That was kind of like how we would watch wrestling when wrestling wasn't on TV, you know what I mean? So they were a huge part. And I think, you know, there's something where, you know, as you grow up, you know, a lot of people are like this too, where the toys that they had, you know, they kind of hold them close to their hearts. And I think that's where we stand on the Hasbros.
Awesome. Now, Mike, there was another topic we were going to get to. We were going to maybe devote half the show to it. But obviously, I think with how long we've gone on Hasbro, not going to be the case.
Yeah, I'll just do it in the plugs.
I'm happy to come back to this for the next time you're on, and we can do a full breakdown of what it is that we are going to talk about. How about you tell people about that now? Tell me about it, because as I mentioned to you before we got on here, I know it's a thing that's happening. It's not a thing that I have looked into as far as how it's happening or the different details behind it, but it's something I'm looking forward to partaking in. We'll discuss it on a future show, but give people a lowdown now, and as you said, any other plugs you got to throw out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got plenty of time to talk about it too, because it's the ballots aren't due until, I believe it's January 2017, so you have plenty of time. But I was watching Fox Sports 2, and it was basically like this this deal where they were doing like the top 200 fighters of the UFC in honor of the oh, by the way, Erie, what's his name? Your boy just got announced for AIW, by the way, if you look it up on Twitter here.
Nice.
Michael Elgin, Tommy End. Oh, God, I'm going to butcher that name, Alan, so you better repeat it for me.
Shigehiro Irie.
And guess who's the fourth guy?
Teddy Hart. Oh, my God. AIW.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. Anyway, yeah, so basically, What was I even talking? Oh yeah, so basically, you know, they were doing this thing on the UFC in honor, you know, I guess in lieu of the upcoming UFC 200, where they were talking about the top 200 UFC fighters of all time. And I thought, like, you know what? Ring of Honor's 15th anniversary coming up soon. They're going to be 15. A lot of us, you know, listening to this have been following them really since their inception. So for them to be, you know, celebrating 15 years, that's pretty impressive. And I thought, like, wouldn't it be cool to have maybe, like, a top 50 guys from Ring of Honor? So I got together with, you know, some guys from Voices of Wrestling, from Place to Be Nation. We're kind of doing this thing where on the Voice of Wrestling board, you can, you know, there's people that are nominated. You can discuss that. But it's basically just to have, you know, everyone who watched Ring of Honor, and, you know, we can go back from, you know, to 2002 until the present date, you know, and you can obviously go up to December, you know, who are your, you know, your 50 greatest Ring of Honor guys, you know, and just Ring of Honor only, you know, you wouldn't consider, you know, WWE work, you know, in hand, or say for Kenta Kobashi, really, you would just consider, you know, the weekend that he was in, you know what I mean? So there's that match with Joe, and it was a great match, but where does that one match in the grand scheme of everybody, you know, land him? You know what I mean? Really probably won't make my list, but, you know, there's that where you have to consider, like, hey, you can't judge Kobashi as a whole. You can only judge him from, you know what I mean? You can only judge him from just the, you know what I mean? From just his time spent in the promotion. So it's Ring of Honor only. Yeah. So it's Ring of Honor only, and it's basically called the Honor Roll, which is a little witty name for it. I think there was something else that they did was called the Honor Roll too, but, you know, I figured it works well here because with the Honor Roll, when you're in school, you know, the Honor Roll is the best in the school, you know, and this is now the best in Ring of Honor. So really, what this is, it's two polls. It's basically, okay, between Joe and Danielson for 1 and 2, and it's for everybody else for 3 to 50. So,
hey, I think you'll have people tout the low key. Maybe some people might even tout the CM Punk for a number one.
Yeah, you know, I mean, low key, you know, in 15 years, he did have a great couple years, but, you know, where does that rank him? But I could see people, other people besides them two getting votes. I just see maybe them, you know, Danielson kind of fighting it out with Joe. And I think Danielson's going to win it, but it'll just be funny, you know, and it'll be more than 50 guys too, because obviously it's gonna be what everybody listing their ballots. It'll, you know, it could be up to 200 guys, you know. So basically, you just list your top 50 guys, and, you know, it's, I figured 50 is a pretty containable number to group of guys, you know, within 15 years. You know what I mean? It's not like, and this is no knock, because I think it's I think it was great to follow this poll, but like, say, like that greatest wrestler ever poll, where you're really judging guys from multiple decades and multiple places and this and that. You know what I mean? It's very complex.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's very tough to just tackle every single genre of wrestling in every single decade for the past 50, 60 years. You know what I mean? It's very hard.
It's a lot of comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah, this is just – and this is, you know, and this is, you know, it's going to be hard, I'm sure, to – where do you place a guy 30th to 35th? You know what I mean? But this is at least just Ring of Honor only within 50 years and just 50 guys. And when you think about that number 50, it's a really low number in the grand scheme of how many guys have, you know, wrestled in the company. And when you go on the VOW board and look at the, you know, all the nominees, there's more than 50 guys that are even there that you could probably make a case for, oh, yeah, I could vote for that guy, you know, because, you know, you can vote for, you know, Paul London or Kyle O'Reilly, you know, two guys from two completely different ends of Ring of Honor, even though, you know, London did make a few appearances later on, you know, in the 2010s. But, you know what I mean? Like, where do you rank, you know, like a guy like Kyle O'Reilly as compared to, say, Homicide, you know? So it's something you could think about, as well as I think it's great because, you know, I'll post DVD covers if I ever get, you know, a hunch to watch a match, you know, from back in the day, and, you know, people will comment, oh, yeah, I remember this and this. So I figured it's good to, you know, encourage people to go back and rewatch some wrestling. Like, look, we have plenty. We have more than plenty of wrestling to watch in 2016, okay, currently. You know, that's going on to go back and watch old, you know, wrestling from 12 years ago. But, you know, Ring of Honor, man, there's a lot of great stuff where a lot of these guys have moved on. And, you know, you may have not watched this stuff in years where, You know, you're seeing Daniel Bryan, you know, years ago wrestling, you know, Jamie Noble. You know what I mean? You thought, man, it's been years since I watched that match. You know, it's something just to get people to, you know, rediscover, you know, older wrestling and reappreciate the people that have led the way for today. You know what I mean? Because awesome. I'm a big guy who I love the, you know, pay respect to the past, you know, as well, you know, in the current, you know, you got to live in the moment. You got to live in the current. And I love current wrestling. I love current wrestling as much as anyone. But, you know, there's that stuff from, you know, Ring of Honor, that they did that in 2006 that, you know, that's going to, you know, stay with us forever as wrestling fans, Al. You know, when you think about that CZW feud. So there's a lot of stuff to dig into. That's why, you know, really, you know, starting January 2017, you know, the voting process, we'll roll that out around then. And then we'll release the, you know, the winners right around when the 15th anniversary happens. You know, I think that's like mid-February, I believe, or late February. So it'll be around then. So.
Mike, I'm looking forward to partaking in it. We'll do a deeper discussion on it maybe a few months down the road when we've had a chance to really get to grips with it and think about it. And there's been some discussion, and it's going to be a worthwhile, fun project, I think. And for me, I got to throw some plugs out there for making this a free show. Got to check out the rest of the old F4W WrestlingObserver.com. Website here. We've got, of course, all the newsletters, all the radio shows, all that good stuff, the back issue archive. If you want to read about what Dave Meltzer was writing about when me and Mike were playing with our Hasbro figures, you can. And I wonder if Dave ever played with Hasbro figures. I wonder if Dave has any Hasbro figures. That's a question.
He probably had the AWA Remco figures with the free birds.
I could see him having been given like a Brett figure when Brett was on the Ascent in 92-93 and having it on top of his typewriter in his office or something like that. Maybe not. But check out all the stuff here on the website. Check out my back archive of DKP shows, all the great shows we've done over the years, and plenty more to come. The most varied wrestling podcast on the internet, in my opinion, is this show here. I can't claim a lot of things, but I will claim there's more variety on DKP than any other show you'll find under the umbrella of pro wrestling. And I think we proved that tonight by going nearly 2 hours on the Hasbro figures. Mike, it was my pleasure. I had a blast doing this. I don't care that I'm only going to be getting 5 hours sleep now before work. I'm more psyched up and jazzed up now than I was when we started this. I told you when we started, I was like, let's shoot for an hour because I might get a bit tired around half an hour, 40 minutes in here. I've had a long day. Now, 2 hours in, I'm psyched up. I'm jazzed up. I'm excited. I want to go to my parents' house, collect all my figures, bring them back here, and have a big old tournament and call in sick to work tomorrow. But that can't happen. That might need to wait till Saturday.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, Mike, take it easy, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Everyone, thank you for listening. We'll be back soon on DKB. Thanks for listening. Bye.